and in parting tonight, a few final thoughts about the murder trial of Leroy Dick Jr. It's been a few days now since the jury handed down a guilty verdict on the charge of first-degree murder, and all who were present for the trial are still likely digesting the experience. It was, in a word, remarkable. Remarkable, one, for how well the parties conducted themselves. The state had the right man for the job with Greg Olson, the prosecutor. He was never dramatic and never patronized the jurors. He padded around the courtroom, skillfully recreating the details of that tragic day, March 19, 2013. The jurors learned that Tom Madol and another trooper had been together in Manicotic that morning, and they saw a picture of the two officers with a passel of smiling children at the school hours before Madol lay dead in the snow. Remarkable that Leroy Dick and his attorneys never attempted to argue that Leroy had not been the one to pull the trigger that day. His attorneys also did a fine job, treated witnesses respectfully, no doubt currying favor with the jury by doing so. It was remarkable also that the defense never argued that mental health issues contributed to Leroy's inexplicable violence. We had all suspected or expected that they might have done this. Leroy was calm and always polite and stared mostly at the ground during the trial. I didn't think that there was anything more remarkable than the audio tape of the murder itself. The killing was captured crystal clear by Tom Madol's audio recorder. Never have I, or probably anyone else in the courtroom, heard such violence. It was personal and intimate and haunting. To hear Tom's screams of agony after the first shots rang out, then footsteps approaching as Leroy comes close to take the final shot, and then silence. Once was more than I would have cared to hear that, but we heard it twice. I think even Judge Greg Miller was moved emotionally at that second hearing. Leroy's violence that day illuminates human nature in a way most of us might choose to ignore. In the coldest of blood, with no forewarning, he executed a man with whom he had had no qualms, a man he might have previously called friend. Tired of being persecuted by friends, tired of a lonely existence, tired of being a nobody, Leroy became a somebody in a white-hot flash of pure evil. We know evil from Cormac McCarthy and William Faulkner, from beheadings in the Middle East, from school shootings. But we forget that it can live right next door, just below the surface of a person we barely know, maybe we're afraid to know. After killing Tom, Leroy cleaned his rifle and locked it away, and patiently waited for authorities to come an hour later and take him away. I thought the audio tape of his evil act was the most remarkable part of the trial, but I was wrong. Just after the jury's verdict was delivered, a brief scene unfolded in the atrium of the courthouse that painted a much different story. There, the stoic widow of the slain officer and the grieving mother of the convicted killer, leaving the dreary court on a dreary day, stopped and embraced, consoling one another for their separate but somewhat shared pain. There wasn't bitterness, there wasn't anger, and there was no remnant of the savage evil that had brought the two women together. There was only the best of our peculiar humanity between them, and that was the most remarkable event of the trial.